it's a challenge. You know, it's not insurmountable. There's other clubs that do it really successfully, and we do believe that we have both the you know, durability and the quality of arms in our bullpen to make it happen. But obviously, you know, the ball hasn't bounced our way, and we haven't gotten as many wins as we'd like in that fifth spot. So, yeah, we have guys that are resilient. We have guys that give us length, whether it's Strom, Covey, Hoffman, Vasquez. You know, we feel good about all of our pen. I mean, we had to make a really difficult decision today in sending out Junior Marte, who has been throwing the ball really well for us. So those are good problems to have. We have guys down in AAA like Lotti, Brogdon, really good arms, major league arms. And that's where you want to be organizationally. And that kind of quality in the bullpen will help you get through these bullpen days that can be taxing.
My goodness. What did I just hear? Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. The voice there of Sam Full, Phillies GM. So let me just say, Hugh, that last night was a good night for the Phils.
Really good night.
Offense exploded. The offense has really been on a good run here. And a nice win. Wheeler pitched well again. But that, I guess, was before the game. Sam Full on with the pregame show. And he's talking about why, like, they're okay with the bullpen arms and their bullpen games. And you hear him say the quality of arms. And he talked about a good problem to have. And he mentioned Dylan Covey. I mean, Sam.
Yeah, we know how you feel about
Sam. That. Don't lie. I mean, I know he's trying to be diplomatic and he's talking about their depth and all that. But geez, Louise, I mean, come on! Let's not pretend they're 2-10 in these games between Falter and the bullpen. So Sam Full last night, and Hugh, the trade deadline's coming up. I say about 6-7 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, and I think the assumption is, and it's probably a really good assumption, they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. That's what they need.
I mean, that's what probably you need to do.
Yes. Yet. That being said, Hugh, I was on MLB.com, and there was a story about the reigning NL MVP, Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, won the NL MVP last year. I mean, the guy's probably a future Hall of Famer. He's been an incredible player, and he still is really good. Maybe not MVP level this year, but still having a really good season. And the story was basically like, the Cardinals stink. They have no young pitching. They should trade him this summer. And then I was scrolling through, and they're like, well, who would trade for him? And they had a list of about five teams, and Hugh, one of those teams were the Phillies.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, he's hitting .290 right now, first baseman. We need pitching, though.
I know.
And where would you have him hit in the lineup?
Well, the lineup with him, however you did it, would be ridiculous.
Yeah, we're so glad you asked, Hugh.
Well, I have a lineup here.
I mean, because, you know, it's funny because, you know, you guys are big into lineups. So I'm like, where would you hit him?
So,
where are you putting Bryce? You got to leave Bryce at DH,
yeah,
I guess, at that point.
Right, because he can't throw from the outfield this year. So, let's just kind of entertain this wild idea, which I think is unlikely, but not – it's not ridiculous. I mean, if the Phillies can't find a starting pitcher they love – it may be worth more just increasing the offense, like go all in on offense. So Goldschmidt could be available this summer. And look, guys, it would probably take Andrew Painter. It would probably take, you know, their top pitching prospect to get him. He's that good. He was the MVP last year, and he still has a year left on his contract after this year. So, all right, so here's what I think it could look like. If the Phillies did this, and Hugh, you're right, Bryce would have to stay at DH, and that means they'd have to keep Schwarber and Castellanos in the outfield all year, and then you'd have Goldschmidt at first.
Yeah, and then aren't we trying to get some rest for Schwarber? Because it, like,
I know,
you know what I'm saying. We got to get somebody that's going to play in outfield.
Creaky knees.
This is like square pegs, round holes. But this square peg is so good.
No, you got excited when you heard. Like, I could tell.
He won the MVP last year.
Yeah.
So here's what I jotted down, and I mean, look, you could rearrange this any way you want. It'd be amazing. Schwarber, Goldschmidt, Harper, Castellanos, Turner, Realmuto, Stott, Boehm, Marsh. I mean, whatever you want to do, the top five, Schwarber, Goldschmidt, Harper, Castellanos, Turner. It's the best top five in baseball. It would be the best lineup in all of baseball. Like, they could score 6 runs a game with this team.
And then how would we feel if we had one of the nights like we had the first night?
I know.
You know what I mean? With that lineup, because it looked great. And I can guarantee you last night that we went up 5-0, that everybody kind of collectively held their breath.
If it wasn't Wheeler Pichu, I would.
I'm telling you.
So it sounds like, and again, this is just kind of a little conjecture out there. It's not like a thing that's going to happen imminently. It sounds like, Hugh, you're more of the mind like, yeah, but they got to get pitching.
You know what's funny? That Goldschmidt's a great player, and everything you said is true. But when we were going into this season, the one thing that we said was the lineup was already formidable enough. We said that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, we had some injuries and we got off to a slow start. looks like they're starting to come around now.
Yeah, they're hitting really well right now.
Yeah, we need that other arm, man. We need that arm.
So I agree with you, but it would be if the phone rings and it's the Cardinals and they say, hey,
you gotta listen.
We got Goldie over here. Kyle, when you heard that this morning, what did you feel?
Well, I mean, of course I lit up. He's the NL MVP last year. The dude can just flat out freaking hit.
And he's a great defensive player, which they don't have many.
Yeah, right. And I mean, considering what the guy that he would be replacing technically, Rhys Hoskins at first base, I mean, it's just upgrade over upgrade over upgrade. But really what stood out to me about when – so we talked about doing this exercise, we throw him into our ideal Phillies lineup with Paul Goldschmidt. Man, the Rhys thing is killer. Like, granted, Rhys is not Paul Goldschmidt. He's not an NL MVP. But the type of bat that you might be able to add into the lineup when Rhys is hot, I mean, it makes this lineup really – I think it's the best in baseball, even if it's Rhys Hoskins and not Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, that's a tough hole.
So, I mean, it basically would be like recreating Rhys, but a little bit better.
Right.
And way better on defense.
Right. So, I mean, considering that, you know, like if you were just a non-ACL tear away from pretty much having this lineup,
yeah.
I mean – Man.
So the other thing is he has an extra year in his contract. Now, he's older. He's 36, 35, but he would be Rhys' replacement next year. So just keep an eye on this one over the course of summer. If anything, you know, if we hear anything real on this, we'll certainly bring it up more and talk about it.
Hugh is right, though, that it's not like if you're looking at what this team needs, like the offense is coming alive now. If you're looking at issues for why this team is, you know, still below 500, it's no longer the offense is really a reason you're going to point to. Now, granted, you add Paul Goldschmidt might be able to carry you through one of those fifth starter games that they've been struggling with. But, like, really, I think you could just more easily solve that fifth starter problem by getting a fifth starter.
So, I agree with you. 215-592-9494. We'll get back all the phone lines on all the Embiid stuff in a minute. But we can also take your calls on this. I do wonder if there is a zig while everyone else zags thing. If there are 20 contenders in baseball all looking for pitching, and the Phillies said, you guys trade for this guy, this fourth starter, fourth, fifth starter, we're going to trade for an MVP-level first baseman. I mean, what makes your team better? I understand they keep losing these fifth starter games, but...
You're talking about just outscoring everybody.
Yeah, just
going out there and just hitting bombs like all day.
Right, like what makes your team better? Adding like a Drew Smiley fifth starter or Paul Goldschmidt?
You're right, and it is the zig when it was that because everyone's kind of
looking
in the
for pitching.
Yeah, everyone's in the same predicament. It's a seller's market for pitching. So if you're going to be the team that's, you know, everyone else is going to do the smart and easy thing to do and just settle for, like you said, a Drew Smiley is your fifth option. We might, you know, it might be a good idea to pull the wool over everyone else's eyes and just be like, you know what? How about we're going to hit our way out of this?
I see y'all forgetting one important thing, though. Who are you giving up? What are you giving up? Giving up something.
Well,
I know a guy.
Yeah, listen.
You talking about Andrew?
Yeah.
Andrew.
If I'm the Cardinals, right, and they're on the phone with the Phillies, I say, hey, Dave Dombrowski, you give us Andrew Painter.
Andy.
And you've got yourself Paul Goldschmidt.
You know why I don't think that's going to happen? I mean, it sounds great, but the reason why I don't think it's going to happen because we put so much faith in him to be that fifth starter this year and to actually give him up. And plus, we don't even know what's wrong with him. I mean, let's be
well.
We don't know what's
because it's not like they did surgery. It's a slow heal.
But we don't know because the timeline. They've went over the timeline
way over
for him to be available.
I read yesterday he was throwing from 20 feet, which is just basically catch. Like he's just still playing catch. It's June.
We're gonna be hearing about maybe he'll be back in September. You know, or maybe just shut him down
for
the season. I do want to really win the World Series this year.
Well, that there you go. So if that's the objective, I think this Goldschmidt thing is interesting. 215-592-9494. It's certainly one, as we get closer to the trade deadline, about 6 weeks, that's going to be a topic, whether here or anywhere else, and what the Phillies end up doing. They have Ranger on the mound tonight in Arizona, 940 first pitch. Let's get back to the phone lines here. All the MB stuff. You want to chime in on the Goldschmidt idea to the Phillies, that is open as well. 215-592-9494. All right, if you missed it earlier, I know a lot of people are on hold. Let's get back to the conversation. If you're just hopping in the car now, like really, who's failed who more? Like what's the biggest reason the Sixers are here? Did Embiid fail them over the years, or have they failed him? And my argument is Embiid has failed the Sixers more because he's not played as well in the postseason, his best or close to his best, and if he had, they'd be moving on. And I also think teams take their cue from their leaders. He hasn't been a good enough one. But I know, Hugh, you think that they've, in effect, failed him too.
Yeah, it starts at the top. And you have to have a sound organization from top to bottom that is in lockstep with what you're trying to accomplish. And I don't feel like the Sixers are that.
Well, they haven't been that enough. Let's go to the phone lines here. Rob is in Delco, and it's Rob's birthday. Happy birthday, Rob.
Happy birthday, man.
Thank you, guys. You had a big 5-0 today. You had a big 5-0.
It's a big day. Happy birthday.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to, you got any advice from you when I turn 50 or what?
Hey, man, long as everything work, just stay the course. As long as you ain't got to take no pills or nothing like that to make everything work or wear a diaper, you good to go.
No male undergarment, and I don't need to order that.
Yeah.
That costs like $100.
You in a good spot.
Got all my hair. I'm good to go. You know
see,
what I mean?
I ain't got all my hair. Yeah. So.
I'm in my 30s. I don't have my hair, Rob, so you're doing better than me.
Nah, listen, I'm doing good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate the wishes. Joe, you're about to ruin my birthday with that first little bit you played to stand forward. With the arms in the minor leagues. What the hell? Are you
good problem about? To have, says Sam Fold. Dylan Covey.
Yeah, and then that's why right away my first interview. You said this Goldschmidt thing. After that comment by that, whatever he is, the assistant GM or whatever he's called. No way. My first interview was no way. We had this guy for a year and a half, and we're trading away a possible 19, 20 year old guy. When you had made Hugh, how many times have you made the comment? We got to develop these guys right here.
Yeah, you got to develop the farm system. Got to keep these young guys.
If there's a way to get around it, Joe, I would do it. But I wouldn't give up Painter for him. Joe.
Yeah, it's a big price. But, again, we're talking about an MVP-level player. So the price is, we know it's going to be big here. My guess, Rob, is it doesn't happen. But when I saw the Phillies name connected, I was like, oh, wow.
Joe, everybody in baseball kind of needs a fifth starter. Pitching is such a premium. Mm-hmm. It's like in fantasy baseball. Do not trade your top pitchers. Everybody's looking for pitching. I don't know how your league's going, but don't trade pitching.
Kyle, how is our league going, by the way?
Yeah, we got to check on that. Rob, happy birthday, buddy. We appreciate it. A little slumped for what's the team?
Team Hugh and KQ.
Yeah,
we're dealing with a lot of injuries right now.
Okay.
So it started with Jazz Chisholm, who was one of our top picks. Mm-hmm. He's been dealing with a toe injury. Looks like he's actually going to have to get that fixed in the offseason. So who knows how much that's going to affect him the rest of the way. Our number one pick, our first pick, Yordan Alvarez, is dealing with an oblique issue,
which
is never good.
Yeah.
And we had a few pitching injuries, Justin Steele. We had a little snafu there. So we're working through some things. It's what we call a blip on the radar. It's a marathon, not a sprint, Hugh.
Yes.
We're currently facing the program director, Rod Lakin, who I believe is currently number one in the standings.
Who I beat last week, by the way.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, he hasn't brought it up since.
It is curious that we haven't really heard much about the league from Rod.
He's been in the zone. He's been in the zone about baseball.
I do expect that if he handles us this week, we will be hearing a little bit about it.
So James Seltzer and Rod Lakin are they're the first place teams right now. I'm number three in the league right now.
DeCamera's. Assuming
how's
he
his team
been.
Doing?
DeCamera.
We got to start moving towards actually docking
these draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, like we can't be not serious about this.
Yeah, well,
Rod was serious about it.
Yeah, he's at a .295 winning percentage right now. It is a joke.
That's a disgrace. Yeah,
it really is unacceptable. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Self in North Philly is up, talking and being the Sixers. Hey, Self.
Yo, what's going on, though? Not Lock and Key.
What's going on, man?
Hey, Self.
Hey, man, first off, I want to say happy heavenly born day to my mom, man. It's been a year and a half since she passed.
I'm glad you could bring it up and share it with us and wish that to her herself.
Yeah, no doubt, man, no doubt. First of all, I'm going to actually come to and bum defeat defense for once. I think it's both. The Sixers failed him because, like that caller said, it was no dog to teach the pup how to become a dog. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, he's been here 8 or 9 years. At some point, you got to grow up and learn how to be a man yourself or learn how to be that dog yourself. You know what I'm saying? So adversity going to do one of two things. It's going to make you fold or it's going to make you and shape you and mold you or it's going to make you fold. You know what I mean? And right now, he's been folding. So for 8 or 9 years, they done put pieces around him. They done tried to bring parts and bits around him to help him. And he's still failing. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, they failed each other. But he's failing the most because he hasn't stepped up to the plate, even though they done changed these pieces around.
Well, that's the thing that gets me, Self. They have changed it, right? It's not like they've had the same team for 6 or 7 or 8 years. They've tried to put other people around him, and none of this stuff works.
Exactly. And the reason why, again, I say that people think he's the best player in the league, let's get something straight, man. Being an MVP doesn't make you the best player in the league. It makes you the best individual player of the league. You know what I mean? Which means that doesn't make you a best player. Best player is the best individual as well as a best teammate or team player. And he lacks the team player part. He's a selfish individual player. Yes, he can score, but that's the only thing people can tell you is he can score. His defense is subpar. He's not the greatest defender in the league. You know what I mean? He's subpar with that. So I'm tired of hearing people say how great of a defender he is when he's really not. He's mediocre and average. However, he can score. That's all he can do. And that's the difference between a person who played the sport and a person who's just a fan of a sport. A fan just wants to see scoring. They don't know anything about the game. And that includes Elliott Shortpark.
I knew it was coming. There it was. But self, the point on the MVP stuff is up. We appreciate your phone call. The point on MVP, it's like when Elliott brought up that the voters said MVP was Joel. Like, I don't care. I mean, guys, here are some lists of MVPs over the years. Joel Embiid this year. Is he really the best player in the league? No, he had a great regular season. James Harden in 2018. I mean, let's be real. Was James Harden ever in anyone's mind actually a better player than Steph Curry or LeBron James or Kevin Durant? No.
He had a nice run.
He had good stats for a couple years. Russell Westbrook won it in 2017. In no world was he anyone ever really think he was better than Durant or LeBron or Curry. You know, Derrick Rose over LeBron in 11. Guys, Steve Nash won it in back-to-back years over Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal and LeBron James. This MVP stuff, sometimes, Hugh, I think we get, like, oh, Hugh, I'll bring up the Eagles. If Jalen Hurts won the MVP last year, does that mean he's a better player than Patrick Mahomes if he got the award?
No.
No. This happens.
But people view, I'm convinced, just listening to people talk and defend Joel Embiid, people view football differently than they view basketball.
Yeah, you've been on the last couple of months.
And I just find it fascinating. I just find how there are more excuses made for basketball players than they are football players. And they're both professional sports. And they make more money. They make way more money. But, I mean, I get it. People like what they like. But when you turtle up in one of the biggest moments or two of the biggest moments in your career, that's all that I'm talking about. I'm not focused on – I can't argue the fact that he's a good regular season player. But when it matters, he came up short. Came up super short.
Yeah, and short in a big way, in a big moment. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Chris, King of Prussia, and then we'll have the midday, midweek, mid-show take from me on a non-sports subject here. Chris, what's up, buddy? Chris, King of Prussia.
Uh-oh.
Going once, twice. Chris goes back on hold.
Oh, yeah. He must have fell asleep.
Yeah, it's all right. Let's go to Jeff in Palm Springs. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, man?
Before I get to my point, I'd just like to say I really love the show. It's just great. You guys are doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate you listening, Jeff.
Tell our bosses now, that.
Now I want to tell you why you're wrong.
Oh, but I love it. Okay, go ahead.
Embiid is not perfect. We all know that. He's never really developed into what he could be. But this team has let him down tremendously. The best teams don't change GMs every couple of years. They don't change coaches every couple of years. They don't bring in three new players every year. They have a solid team. They let them play together. They draft one player. They ease them in. Look at the Nuggets. They've been playing together for 4 or 5 years now.
You're right. And before that, it was the Warriors, right? They drafted Draymond.
Right.
They drafted Curry. They drafted Thompson. You're right.
Exactly. And they have consistency throughout the organization. The Sixers have none of that. And then in football, when a team drafts a rookie quarterback, if they don't have an old, wily veteran, they bring one in. That's the first thing they do. To mentor the kid.
Like Doug Peterson. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Doug, for Donovan.
Who mentored Embiid?
Nobody. He sat there and watched for 2 years while they lost games. Yep.
Right. And the culture he was brought in was, let's lose.
Let's
lose as many games as we can. That's the culture.
Yeah, Jeff, you were right. I mean, this is of all of the arguments today, Jeff, we appreciate the kind words. Hugh, I can't argue with that. You brought it up earlier. The culture's bad here. Doc brought it up yesterday. The Sixers might be responsible for creating who Joel Embiid is, and then he's this now. It's what they've done.
Yeah, this team has failed him. This organization has failed him, and that's the way that I look at it. you cannot point to any individual that since he's been here that you can say that you've groomed and cultivated.
It's like a shame. It's a shame. There's none. I mean, the closest thing is Maxi, and he came more towards when they were good
and
anyway.
And there's some speculation of whether or not he's going to be here.
Well, like,
you know what I mean? He might be a trade piece.
Yeah, it's a shame how the whole thing has gone. 215-592-9494. Who failed who more? The Sixers failed Embiid, and Embiid failed the Sixers. All right, before we go any further here, and we have the Harden wheel coming up, we got all this Goldschmidt rumors, stuff to the Phillies, which has got me all excited here. First, you know what it is. It's a Wednesday, which means it's time for midday, midweek, mid-show check-in. All right, I've got a thought on this. And so I was thinking about today. So I think for the most part, I know in Pennsylvania, I'm not sure about South Jersey and just Jersey. Kids are out of school, right? It's summertime. We're close. Okay. But it's not really summertime yet. It's like technically it's still spring until what? Maybe next week?
Yeah. So what they say is Memorial Day is like the unofficial real start of summer.
No, you're on my mind. We're changing it. I'm changing the seasons today.
Gotcha.
We should change the seasons. And I'm not like saying like literally with the sun and the moon, like just like how we approach what season it is.
Yeah.
I want to base it on the holiday calendar and the sports calendar. This is what people think about. Like in the middle of September, it's fall. Kids are back at school.
Yeah.
It's football season.
Yes.
But you're telling me it's summer on September 18th? No, it's not. Stop lying to me. It's actually fall. So we're changing the calendar today. So summer starts on Memorial Day and ends on Labor Day. I'm changing summer to that. We start fall the day after Labor Day, and we go to Thanksgiving. Winter starts after Thanksgiving, and we go to Selection Sunday. And then from there, it's spring NCAA tournament to Memorial Day. I'm changing the seasons today.
I don't have a problem with that because as a former player, like when you get like July, August, like summer's over. Like in the middle of July, like probably the 18th or 19th, as you go back to training camp, and summer's over. And then you got August. August is like the beginning of fall. You got like 3 weeks left before the weather changes or something crazy like that.
Maybe it's just because of the way my brain is wired with the sporting calendar.
You're not the only one.
But now the other part of my life, so I have two kids and my wife's a teacher. So like my brain revolves around like the school calendar and the sports calendar. These seasons we have, they got to change these.
So I don't think you're crazy and I agree with you. I just think it's a little ambitious. You're putting a lot of faith in people, the large majority of the population's ability to make this adjustment.
A lot of people have already done it. Like
right,
I will venture to say most men have done it. They just don't share with their mates. Because let me tell you, we as guys, think about this for a minute, y'all. Now, listen to me. Everything evolves around sporting events for the most part and things of that nature. We know certain dates. Because we know this is when whatever sports you watch starts.
Yeah, relative to when the sports.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, wow. Because, like, now this is what's going to happen, and we're doing it. Like, your kids are getting ready to get out of school if you have kids. Mm-hmm. You're planning your vacations around the beginning of July, maybe the end of June, because you know and when August roll around, like the middle of July roll around, football season's coming around, and you don't want anything to be distracting you.
Right.
You might take one late in the year. You might take one during the preseason. But, baby, when the football season starts, your vacation time is going to evolve around those football games.
Everything.
For the most part.
Yeah, our lives do. So Kyle thinks this might be hard to implement. I actually don't think it would be.
No,
just change the days on the calendar, right? So then, and then everyone just goes by. Like, you turn on the radio, oh, it's the first day of summer. After a couple of years, people just get used to this stuff.
Yeah, just like that daylight saving thing.
Exactly. So, guys, summer started a few weeks ago. It started on Memorial Day. It will end on Labor Day. That's it. We're changing the calendar. Maybe it's ambitious, but I think we could do this.
Well, I'm finishing up my email to the government, and it'll be sent.
Let me know how that works out.
If we just talk about it, people will just catch on. That's the way I view this. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll come back, reset the program, your phone calls. Who failed who? The Sixers fail on Embiid or Embiid fail on the Sixers? And so the Phillies try to go after Paul Goldschmidt. The Cardinals might trade him. First baseman, last year's MVP. Phillies are named there as a potential candidate for Paul Goldschmidt. And we'll start off the who else but Harden wheel. Plus, Stephen A. the other day had an interesting comment as it pertains to Harden's real value on the market right now and how that could affect the Sixers' ability to retain him next season. That's next. And you, 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.